Hello. Hey. Well, great to be here. And like Joe said, my name is Ola. I'm one of the site leaders in Chichester. And to be quite honest with you, I'm glad I'm here this morning. And I hope you all are. Well, so yeah, like Joe said, we'll be continuing our prayer preaching series on prayers of the saints. And today's topic is power for prayer. And Joe's just been talking about our morning prayers. It's been, personally, I've loved it, really. Waking up in the morning and praying, and like I said, you don't have to turn even your video on. But I've seen God move in my family through those prayers. And I encourage everyone to, if you can, please be there. There's nothing like being in the presence of God first thing in the morning and praying. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joe. So, prayers of the saints. Our main focus today will be on Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be reading from verse 16 to 19. But before we get into that, I'd like to tell you a story. It's a story about a young Muslim boy that was raised up in Islamic way, and he didn't know anything about any other religion, to be quite honest, or any other faith. But until one fateful day, when he was invited actually for a conference, a Christian conference, and that would be his first time to go into anything Christian. And the preacher then just preached on Trinity, which, quite frankly, is not an easy topic or subject for anyone to, particularly if you're not from the faith, to hear for the first time. And this boy listened, and he had an encounter with God, and God touched his life. And today, he is a Christian. You see, that is amazing. That, for me, is the power of God. I know there are a lot of people that are raised up, even in Christian homes, that still struggle with the concept of Trinity, let alone a Muslim boy that had no clue. But when God wants to move, he moves in power. And that's what happened to the boy. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 was saying, and just in case you're wondering, that is my story. So, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now that is a powerful prayer that Paul prayed. And it's so deep. There's so many things in there. And hopefully we'll try and unpack that. And I've got three questions that I probably want to use to unpack that passage. Billy Graham, I'm not sure if you know, he's an American evangelist, once said that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. And he said that to emphasize the importance of prayer in the life of every believer and to get us to pray more. And I pray that this passage today will not only encourage us to pray more regularly, but it will also increase our love and our passion for prayer, because we know that is where God's power is made manifest through that. And through that, he does great works in our lives. So the three questions we're looking to try and unpack this is, who is this prayer for? Second question is, what is this prayer about? And why did Paul pray this prayer? There's a passage in the New Testament, which is in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. It says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and imagination to make it obedient to Christ. That is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. It's interesting that he said there that we take That got me when I was reading that. You see, we take captive every thought and imagination that to make it obedient to Christ. And the passage we just read, the main passage, it says in the first part of that passage, it says that God may empower us through, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. And that translation said in your inner man. Because the law of the things, the battle that goes on the inside. And that passage is telling us that we bring every thought, every imagination captive. Because before anything is being made manifest, it goes on inside. So the strength we need, it starts from inside out. And so the battle, whatever it is we're facing in life, we need to take the battle to the spirit realm that goes on the inner man, which is the spirit man. And then we come and manifest that. And God, through his power, will manifest that in our lives. And so that is why Paul is praying this prayer for is for us believers. This prayer was prayed over the church in Ephesus. They were new Christians. And he prayed it over them because they believed. And it's not that they should come into the knowledge of God, but they should take hold of what they've got, making them realize that they've got something powerful here. It's to wake us up to that realization of what we have as Christians and to access that. And we access that by praying. In prayer, we get into that and get to manifest all that God wants us to do. So this prayer is for people that believe. We've got to first be a believer. And so therefore, it means it's applicable to every single one of us here today. Also, even before we get into that passage, in Ephesians chapter 1, it talked about the glorious riches of God. It talked about how God had preordained and planned all of these out. He foreknew us. He knew he had plans for us to bring us into the fold. Even when we had no clue, when we're lost in our sins, God had made all of those plans out. And he for everyone, and then it gets to a point where, like I did, when you come into the knowledge of God and you just see the glory, you have that encounter, and then you give your life to Christ. And then verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 1 now says, this is just saying, obviously, the fact that a person without the Spirit cannot receive the things that come from the Spirit. And that's why I was saying this prayer is for prayers, it's for believers. Because if you pray this, if you haven't got the Spirit, if you don't believe God, and you haven't got the Spirit of God, you probably have no clue what they're talking about. You think, what they're saying is rubbish. Because you cannot discern that. Because these things are spiritually discerned. And so therefore, when God... I think this is the old... It's not the right word. Anyway, I'll keep going. So the Ephesians, I might have it maybe later on, but I'll just go to it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, that says that you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So when we came into Christ and we gave our life and we believe, God gave us his Holy Spirit. And Paul wants us to remember that. That we, when we give our life, we something happened. We had an encounter. But that is just the beginning of the journey. We are now part of the kingdom of God, but God left us with his Holy Spirit, which then enables us to be able to do all that God wants us to do. He enables us to be leading the church like Joe. Is a part of God in him, the Holy Spirit, leading a life group, or even coming in church, bringing a word, all of that, we can only do it effectively by the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, what we're doing, we're just doing the things that people outside of church would do, and it lacks the power of God. But for it to be effective, we need to engage the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And that's why in that phrase it says that God will empower us through the Holy Spirit in our inner man. So it's the Holy Spirit at work that enables us to do everything effectively, particularly with things that pertain to godliness and life. For us to be effective and to do everything excellently, we need to constantly engage the Holy Spirit. So, and that's what Paul was praying. He was waking us up to that realization as Christians That, hey, you gave your life. There's a spirit. This Holy Spirit is available to you. It's available to you, but you have to access that and then use that to do all that God is calling you to do. So Paul knew that, and he knew for us to function in that, we need generally to engage with the Holy Spirit. And so what that leads me to, what is this prayer about? So this prayer is about the power of God, like we've rightly established, and that the power of God is available to all Christians and accessible to us. And Paul wants to put a focus on that. He said we need the power of God to go through life, everything we do in life. And so he wants to inspire us to pray and walk in prayer as we go through life. The truth, like I said, is we cannot do anything without the power of God. And there's an example in 1 Samuel 2:9. Might be able to. 1 Samuel 2:9. This is Anna. Anna, the mother of the priest in the Old Testament. Anna prayed this prayer in 2:9. He said, God will guard the feet of the saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. Now, this is a thanksgiving prayer from Anna to God, after Anna encountered the power of God. So, to put this in context, Anna was without a child for a long time. And she kept crying to God, but people laughed at her. People called her all sorts of names. They called her barren. But Anna did not just accept that. Anna did not accept the names that people in the world called her. But she went to God. She went to the one that she knows was able to turn things around. The one that could do the impossible. And she went to God in prayer. And it was a desperate prayer that Anna prayed. I mean, it was so desperate that the priest at the time thought she was drunk with wine. And she said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying my heart out to God. And God heard. And God answered Anna. And Anna gave birth to his son. And we know him today, Samuel, one of the priests in the Old Testament. And that wasn't our only child. She had other children after that as well. But Anna had just experienced the power of God at work. Anna had just realized that, do you know what? It's only through the strength of God that anybody can do anything. And that's why she gave this thanksgiving prayer that for by strength no man shall prevail. In our own strength, we cannot achieve everything that God is calling us to do. But with the strength and the power of God, he can do the impossible. Because to be quite honest with you, what we face as Christians out there is the world against you. Anyone without the Spirit of God is going to be against the things of God. Like the first verse we read, because to them it's foolishness. They think, what are you guys doing? But because they can't understand it. And we pray for them that they come to the knowledge and they can get the Spirit of God and their eyes can be opened. And suddenly, like I did, they can see. They can realize, wow, actually, this is love of God. This is amazing. And then you'll be able to access the things of God. And this is what Anna did. And so God worked powerfully in the life of Anna. There's another story in the Old Testament as well, and it's a very popular one. I'm sure we all know that. And that is a story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it's about David and Goliath. We know that story. You know, Goliath itself was a mountain of a man. He was a champion of his time, and he was skilled in what he does. And to be quite honest with you, he was probably the strongest man alive in his own time. And he came out and he defiled Israel and the God of Israel. And he said to them, do you know what? We don't need to fight in this battle. All I need is just someone to come in and fight against me. And whoever wins, take the victory. And for 40 days, that's what the Bible said, he did this and tormented the whole army of Israel. And they were all scared to their bones. They were shaking, a bit like Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. Until there came a more powerful man in the form of David. Now, it's not as if David was physically stronger than Goliath, but David knew what he had on the inside of him. David knew that greater is he that is in him than he who is in the world. And therefore, David stepped out. And that's why when David came against Goliath, he didn't go in his own strength. He said, you come against me with bows and arrows, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. He went in the strength of God. And that gave him the supernatural victory that we still talk about today. Because he realized what he had on the inside of him. And he went in the strength of that, and he had the victory. He needed just one stone. Now, how impossible can that be? Goliath was so guarded up everywhere else. The only place where there was space for the stone to pass through, that was where the stone... The Holy Spirit just took the stone and took it straight to where it needed to go. And he had the victory. And sometimes we need to always remember that and rely on the strength of God that we have on the inside of us. And have the victory that we will always have. That is the reason why Jesus Christ, before he ascended, he was with his disciples, he said to them, do you know what? Do not depart from here. He said, you're going to do a lot of things for me. You're going to be, but hang on, wait here. Do not leave Jerusalem until you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they were waited. The Bible recorded that they waited in one place and they were together. That's what the Bible said, but my understanding of that passage is they were not just waiting into one place and looking at each other's faces. They must have been praying for the Holy Spirit to come, like Jesus has said, to empower them. And he came. This is the account, I'm sure you know, in Acts. And he came powerfully. And like he said, they evangelized, they told of all that Christ has done, took the gospel to the whole world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul knew this, and that's why Paul was emphasizing this in this prayer. He knew that beyond anything else, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can have the Holy Spirit inside of you and not realize you got it, not accessing it the way we should. It is like a bit in this room, that everything in this room is there available for us to use, all the things that we brought here to actually work with. And we could decide not to use one of these things, but he's there. So the Holy Spirit empowerment is like that. It's there. We've got to access it as Christians. And there we see God's power at work. And consistently, we need to keep accessing that and do the things that God wants us to do. Everything that he's ordained for us to do. Like Anna, like Samuel, Like Anna, like Samuel, like we've talked about as examples. And also Paul knew that. And that's why is laying that emphasis on the power of God. And we have every confidence. We should have every confidence in the power of God. We should. You know, in the Bible, it says, for example, it says in Psalm 62:11, it said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard that all power belongs to God. Jesus also, after he's been resurrected, before ascending to heaven, said to his disciples in Matthew 28:18, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go in this might. So if all power belongs to God, and all power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and we are of Jesus, he is our Lord and our Savior, it means that same power is available to us. After all, the Bible also talked about the same Spirit that raised Christ from dead dwells on the inside of us, and it quickens our mortal bodies to the glory of his holy name. So that Spirit is available, but we always have to access it. So how do we access this? We access it in the place of prayer. The main verse we read as well, it talks about that God, that it will empower us through his Spirit in our inner man so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we may be rooted and established in love. You see, we know that God is love, and everything he does in love. So this empowerment that the Holy Spirit will give us is to establish Christ to dwell in our hearts. And Christ dwelling in our hearts means we will then learn to love like Christ did. Love not the way the world loves, but love the way God loves, which is a supernatural way of loving. And that's what this empowerment will make us. And that in that loving, then we then realize that God's power is made manifest in his love. And the love of God equals to his power. His power is his love. So we then realize this empowerment is God is just teaching us how to love like he did. We listen to the commission and we can see all the great things that they're doing. That is love, God's love at work. People that you don't know, but you love them because of God's love. And you reach out to people to you see people, you don't look at them, they're just sinners. No, you're looking, only if they can know the love of God. And you're looking how to preach to them or how to minister to them or how to do anything. Because, you know, in love, sometimes preaching is just what you do. It's not exactly what you say. Because people watch what you do and they act on what you do. And that is what Paul is making us realize here, that all of the empowerment of through the Holy Spirit is to help us to love and know God more. He said we'll know the depth, the width, the height, and the length of God's love, so that our relationship with him it deepens more and more, and we love like Jesus Christ did. And we can only do this more and more in the place of prayer. We need to continuously pray. Pray that God will continue to empower us. Pray this prayer over our lives like Paul has prayed, and pray for the manifestation of this prayer in our life. It says in 1 Philippians 2:14, I don't know if I've got that. Yeah. Is that Philippians? Yeah, Philippians 2, 1 to 4. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. The empowerment is to enable us to love like Jesus Christ did. So Paul really wants us to grasp this, to grasp the love of God, so that we can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. It states clearly, like I said, that God is love. And therefore, everything he does it out of love. So the primary role of this power of God is to help us to receive the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we receive the Holy Spirit, and then it enables us to grasp the depth, the height, the width of his love, so that we become more and more like him. And the more we grasp this love, the better Christians we become. And the more God can trust us with his power, which in turn enables us to access more of the depth and the width and the height and the length of his love. Jesus said in John 15, 12 to 13, he said, my command is this. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He said, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Also in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, say, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have lust. I mean, do not have love. Again, nothing. So, love, God's love, the way God loves is what God is calling us to by his power. So, in conclusion to this, he said, when we decided to follow Jesus Christ and become Christians, the Holy Spirit was made available to us like we've established. The Holy Spirit then enables Christ to dwell in our hearts, which then empowers us to love. And this love enables us to experience God's power at work in our lives. And we will continue to manifest this power in our lives as we cultivate prayer as a lifestyle. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. It's reaching out in our hearts and praying all that God has said into manifestation. All his promises in the Bible, the things he said he's going to do, we ask God to bring them to manifestation. So it's always better when we pray to pray God's word out. Because sometimes you could just think, well, this is what I'm going through. Even if that's what you're going through, let's look for a word in the Bible that relates that which we're going through, and then use that to pray, and then remind God that, Lord, this is what you said in your word, and I pray, and that's a better way to pray, rather than just, it's more powerful, because what you're doing is reminding God of all that he has said. The Bible talks about one person, Elijah, and it says in James 5:16. It says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So, prayer of a righteous person is effective and is powerful. Righteous person, who is a righteous person? He who has put his trust in God. Because our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Anyone that trusts in God, that is a righteous. It means you and I, as long as you put your trust in him. So therefore, the prayer of a righteous man avails. So God hears your prayer when you pray, because your prayer is effective. As long as God is your ultimate, is your source, is everything. And that's, if he's your everything, then the Bible talks about God is, the word of God is God in John 1. So if the word of God, then I'll pray his word in every situation I'm going through. I'll speak the word of God into that situation and he will hear and he will answer. But we have to keep praying. Cultivate prayer as a lifestyle, as everything we do, every minute, every second. It might be while you're driving to work or you've got kids, baby. Find a time that's suitable for you. Or you might be sitting here today and say, well, prayer is not my thing. But the key thing is, it starts with a desire. God sees the heart. It starts with like, well, Lord, I want to do this better. Lord, help me. And it will fill your mouth with the things to pray about and how to pray about. You then learn to pray for other people, other Christians, the love. You know, you stop looking at yourself alone. You start to think about, well, do you know what? I know this person's going through this. Lord, would you help her or would you help him? And that love of God starts to dwell and makes us to do those things. And that is what Paul was praying about here. So that we can then pray effectively and pray the will of God into manifestation. I was talking about Elijah. Elijah, again, in that James 5:17-18, it says that Elijah was a human being, even as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. Elijah, in the Old Testament, was just a man like us. And he prayed that it should not rain for 3.5 years, and it did not rain. And if you look at it, that was a different dispensation. That's the Old Testament. They didn't have the Holy Spirit readily available to us like we have it now. He was one of those that was chosen by God, and the Holy Spirit manifested in him, and he did all of that. How much more us now, when we've got the Holy Spirit poured out to us, like we saw in Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, and till now. So if we have the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do all of that, let's engage it. Let's access that Holy Spirit and do everything that God wants us to do. And what did Elijah do? If you look at the story itself in 1 Kings chapter 18, what did he do? He prayed the will of God. Because what happened here was, after the rain stopped, God went to Elijah and said, well, go to Ahab, go and present yourself to Ahab and tell him rain is going to come. And Elijah went to Ahab and he said to Ahab, do you know what? Rain is coming, go and eat and drink. That was the king. And Ahab went, and that's all he did. Oh, okay, Elijah has spoken. But Elijah, after he said that, now when the Bible said he went down and he put his head in between his knees and he prayed, Lord, the rain you said is going to come, let it come. He was praying the will of God. Lord, let that rain come. And did the rain come immediately? No. Because he sent the guy with him, said, go outside and see if there's sound of rain. He went and came out and no rain. Elijah continued to pray, Lord, you've spoken. Let that rain, let it come. And the guy went second time, third time, 7 times, the Bible recorded. And then the guy came back and said, I can see this, a little bit of, he said, okay, rain is coming. But that is what prayer is like sometimes. Sometimes we pray and we think, maybe God has not heard, he's not understanding. No. Is it the will of God we're praying? Let's keep praying. And the Lord will do it. He will do it. Because he would always, he said in his word, he said, none of his word will come, go out and come back to him void without achieving that which he's been sent to him to do. So if God has spoken it, it will come to pass. We might not know the time, but as long as God has said it, let's keep praying. God will make sure it happens. Whenever it happens, that's the time God wants it to be. Because we don't know time. God only, times and seasons are in God's hands. So he knows when that will be. But we just, because we are loving, we know what God has done for us. We know the love that he shed. Oh, well, I know. Because I, like I said, I was completely lost, really. Until I found, and my eyes opened, and I thought, wow. I said, these people, Christians don't know what they're enjoying when I came into faith. I thought, wow. So all of this is available, God. And I just want more and more and more with each passing day. Lord, more and more of you. And that's what Paul is praying for, that we will know him, know the depth. We would be filled to the fullness of God. So I pray that, you know, this will encourage us to actually pray more, to keep doing all that God is calling us to do. I want to finish with this passage, which is 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think I've probably... Yeah. It says, so all of us who have had that veil removed, again, who are those who've got the veil removed? Those who put their faith and their trust in God. Because remember, when Christ... He said, when Christ said it's finished, the veil was torn in two. And that gave us access into the presence of God. He said we can come boldly into the presence of God to receive anything we need at any point in time. So for everyone who's got that veil removed, is everyone who's put his faith and his trust in Jesus. He said to all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we change into his glorious image. So all of this is for us to become more and more like him. And we'll keep doing that till we meet with him in glory. But we have to keep becoming more and more. That's what he's talking about. We may see the length, the depth, the height, the width of God's love, and that we may be filled to the fullness of God. So that with each passing day, as we access, as the Holy Spirit enables us to do all that God is calling us to do, we'll get closer and closer and be more like him. And be like Jesus Christ. I don't know if you guys know the Charltons. I'm sure you know Simo. Myself and Titi went to the house a couple some weeks back to we had lunch together, and we're just chatting. And Mel now told us a story about an interview that somebody had with a silversmith. And you know, we all know that for silver to actually to be purified or refined, he has to undergo a tremendous amount of heat. But there was an interesting thing that the interviewer asked the silversmith. And he said, so how do you know when the silver is at its purest form? And the silversmith said, well, when I can see my reflection on it. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to see. He wants to see his reflection on us. And that the more we go through life, the more we get closer to him, the more the Holy Spirit enables us, we're being purified, we're being refined to become more and more like Jesus. And the more we be like him, the more we do the things his will and love people and show his love and his power through his love that he has put in us. So I think we will have a bit of time to pray this morning. We pray basically for if you want an infilling. Actually, we'll pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us, and pray that God will give us the grace to pray more, that we can access the Holy Spirit more and more and be empowered to do everything that he's called us to do. And that in so doing, be transformed to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen.